This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. How glorious is it? Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Now we are finally here in a couple minutes going to get to this massive tell. You can tell when you've exposed something that's going to wound the communists deeply. We'll get to that in just a moment. Then we're going to talk more about power. We're going to get into that this hour when we're done with this USAID stuff. Power. Should we use it? We don't want to use it like them. We don't want to be evil. Should we use it? Can we get by with not using it? All that, emails, so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, human beings, all human beings, we have tells. You listen to me. You listen to me talk for 3 hours a day. If you listen for any length of time, have picked up. I know I have tells. You can probably tell when I'm about to say something about food. I bet you I make a noise or have a saying when I'm about to reference feminists or make a joke or I'm sure I have tells. No, you don't have to email them to me. You're welcome to, but it's human beings. We have tells. My wife, she eats really, really healthy, like really grossly healthy. It's awful. It's hummus and rice chips, and just, it's horrible. But she will have a cheat meal every now and then. And whenever she's about to ask me if I want to have a cheat meal with her, which, of course, I would say yes, every meal is a cheat meal for me. But whenever she's about to ask me that, she'll do this thing where she kind of half bites her lip and she'll say something to the effect of, so, you know what I'm in the mood for? It's always what I'm in the mood for. And then she'll do this kind of like I'm about to ask for something really bad lip biting thing. And I know by now she's about to say, I want to go to Dairy Queen. I know that's what she's about to say. Communists operate this way too. And you have the ultimate tell. From now on, you will be able to use this. This is not about the story we're about to get into specifically. This is about communists telling you when you have found something that hurts them, that hurts their cause, that hurts the revolution. They always, always, always do this when something that hurts them is exposed. What do? This.
And as a result, people are going to die connected to this.
They always do this.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is hailing the end of USAID, the nation's largest foreign aid agency, even as a new analysis finds that its closure could contribute to some 14 million deaths in the next 5 years.
Coming up, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, officially shuts down just after a new analysis finds its closure could contribute to 14 million deaths in the next 5 years.
Rubio said they are going to be focused now more on trade rather than aid. And of course, this comes as that report from The Lancet is saying there could be an additional 14 million deaths that come as a result of these administration policies.
Oh, I could sit and play this forever. It's not just one or two outlets. It's CNN, it's NBC. This is NBC News. U.S. aid cuts could lead to 14 million deaths over the next 5 years, researchers say. It's NPR, it's the Washington Post, it's Reuters. What is going on here? Are 14 million people going to die? Well, no, there are two things going on here. One, The communist is going to be mortally wounded now that USAID, USAID is being ripped from its hands. We'll go into that in just a moment. That's one. Two, this is in part designed to protect their power. Whenever their power is threatened, they will threaten that people are going to die. And the other part of this is it keeps your it gives your liberal Aunt Peggy a weapon in conversation, in debate. What is that weapon? As soon as she drops it in casual conversation, well, people are going to die. It's very similar to when they use Nazi. It's so over the top. It's so extreme. And it's designed to give you, her opponent or potential opponent, it's designed to give you nowhere to go. After all, what are you supposed to say when liberal Aunt Peggy says, truth, people will die? Are you supposed to say, I don't care? Now, that's what I would say, because I know what they're doing. But most normal people, decent people, we're not talking about you and me, remember. You know this stuff, but normal, decent people, even if they disagree with what's being said, the second you drop, well, I guess you're okay with 14 million people dying, you have shut down the debate because normie norma, they don't feel like they can argue against that. You have taken such an extreme emotional position that anything you say from that point on makes you uncomfortable and you will move on. It's a tactic. But the lesson is, one, they use it as a tactic in arguments, and two, whenever you see the system saying mass death will result if whatever it is happens, you know the system is threatened. Now, what is it about this USAID, USAID? What is it about this that they love so, so much? And they do. You probably never even heard of this organization before Trump got elected again. Why do they give speeches about it?
You also know this is just the beginning. If DOGE attacks USAID today, then you can be sure they'll move on to another target tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Postal Service or the IRS or even the Social Security Administration. They could be next.
Sorry, I just got excited. Anyway, what is it about USAID? Well, you know, I can't help but make a connection. As the Trump administration has attacked government organizations and government-connected organizations, he's defunding them, he's ripping their power away. That happens to coincide with the stories that show the Democrat Party is bankrupt. So bankrupt, they're talking about having to take out loans to keep the lights on. You see, year after year after year after year, decade after decade, the communists inside of the government have embarked on an incredible journey, a very successful journey. And that journey has been this: figure out how to use taxpayer dollars to fund their revolution, revolution domestically and revolution abroad. And one of the main arms of that was USAID. Do you remember the stories? We talked about it before. You remember when Trump got up and he gave that speech and he said, hey, we're funding, you know, tranny surgeries in Guatemala for frogs or something crazy, all the crazy stuff there. And we all scoffed and laughed and scoffed and laughed. Do you want to know something? A lot of those things were USAID projects. Now, why? Is it just that they wanted to tranny frogs? Sure, that's part of it. But there's actually two reasons why. The first reason is USAID is connected to the Central Intelligence Agency. Many people, depends on who you talk to, will say it's flat out part of the Central Intelligence Agency. The Central Intelligence Agency uses it to go around any elected authority, like the president or even the State Department, to conduct its own foreign policy. So Let's say I'm Johnny Communist and I work for the Central Intelligence Agency and I'm in Rwanda, God forbid. I'm in Rwanda, and you know what? Rwanda needs to have a coup. I don't like this government. Maybe the State Department disagrees with me. Maybe the president, Donald Trump, maybe he disagrees with me. But you see, I'm Johnny Communist. I have a CIA badge. I know better than all these people. I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful. No. We need to have a revolution. How do you do that? You take this wonderful-sounding agency, USAID, and you use the slush fund it has to fund a revolution to topple the government that you did completely separate from government oversight or government permission. You essentially conduct American foreign policy with American taxpayer dollars without oversight at all. Why do you think it is, and Mike Benz makes this point all the time, why do you think it is ever since USAID got defunded and shut down in all these foreign countries, not a single foreign country has complained? In fact, most of them have celebrated. That's weird. We were told USAID is just providing rice and fly swatters for the starving kids in Africa. If that was the case, why is everybody happy they're gone? Because it's a central intelligence agency linked, if not, I mean, it is a CIA. It's a CIA-linked organization that funds revolutions all around the world unsupervised. That's why Marco Rubio didn't just shut it down. He essentially grabbed it and said, all of this stuff now will be administered by the State Department. What's he saying with that? You don't get to do whatever you want anymore. Now, I'll let you know whether or not you're allowed. That's reason number one. Reason number two we'll get into in a moment. Before we get into that, I'll read this. Listen to this. I love these stories, man. Jesse, our 8-year-old pound mutt developed skin issues. It got so bad he was waking my wife up itching. We tried a few things but settled on rough greens. After about a week, we noticed our dog wasn't waking us up anymore. Soon after, instead of just barking at me from the couch when I came home, he was meeting me at the door with the ball in his mouth wanting to play. We were having dinner in the yard last night, and the dog wasn't running around the whole time throwing a toy in the air. The dog was running around the whole time throwing a toy in the air, something he hadn't done in a long time. My wife looked at me and asked, rough greens? Pretty amazing what one change can make. His name is Chris, not mine, the good one. You will see differences in your dog, whether it's a puppy, an old dog, a pound dog. Start introducing your dog to nutrition. Sprinkle rough greens on his food and watch your dog come alive and stay alive. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, not a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, and you need to get all your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So there are two reasons the communists love USA.
You also know this is just the beginning. If Doge attacks USAID today, then you can be sure they'll move on to another target tomorrow. Who knows?
We already discussed the CIA-linked portion of it. The money that flows into USAID is used to fund color revolutions across the country. That's part. The other part of it is this. Washington, D.C., it's a criminal place because the United States government is now a criminal organization. And remember, On a macro level, this happens to every government over time. Every single government in history, no matter how wonderful it starts out, no matter how well-intended, no matter what the restrictions are, the law says, the Constitution says, human beings are fallible, flawed, sinful. Over time, human beings are going to do evil things with the power they have, all right? And a government, any form of government, will figure out over time, because governments are made up of people, over a period of time, it will figure out how to acquire for itself more money and more power. It's just human nature. It's why every time you pick up a newspaper, or I know it's online now, every time you pick up your phone and read an online newspaper and you see a story, there's a new one every day about this city councilman, this mayor, this whatever, going to prison. For what? For fraud, some sort of fraud. They were handing out contracts and getting $50,000 kickbacks. How does this happen all the time? Why do people keep doing this? Well, you sit down in the chair of power and there's the vault with the city's money, the state's money, the country's money. And I mean, the vault is right there. And I like money and I'm a big steak fan. I want to drive a BMW and I mean, the vault is right there. Maybe I should just take a little taste. It's what human beings do. In Washington, D.C., they've done it and they've made it legal. The foreign aid, a lot of it run through USAID, doesn't leave Washington, D.C. When you hand Washington, D.C. $100, and I know you don't hand it to them, those dirty snakes steal it from your paycheck, but when you hand Washington, D.C. $100, and Washington, D.C., they tell you, hey, you know, we're gonna send this $100 over to those African kids. They need rice and they need fly swatters. The flies are all over them. I saw it. We're going to get them rice and we're going to get them fly swatters. Maybe you're under the impression that $100 then just goes immediately down to the rice store and the fly swatter store, and they're handing it out to poor African kids. But that's not what happens. Congress allocates that money to organizations, non-government organizations, sometimes government organizations. But of course, those organizations work with other organizations. It's an unbelievably tangled web designed to confuse you because they're stealing your money. If you ever go to Washington, D.C., you will notice that it's the wealthiest place you've ever been in your life. All the streets are new. The buildings are new. The cars are all nice. It's almost like you're transported into this world of wealth, and you are. And it's a world of wealth because they've found out over the years how to steal your money. You hand them the $100 for the rice and fly swatters, and they figure out a way to keep 90 cents, 95 cents of it right here at home in Washington, D.C., paying for this guy's $500,000 salary, paying for this guy's second or third cousin to have a $200,000 a year job. Maybe a couple fly swatters and a jar of rice will get over to the poor African kids. But the truth is, it's all a big slush fund because they're all a bunch of filthy thieves who live every single day to steal your money. Why in the world would the most powerful Democrat in Washington, D.C. get up on the Senate floor and get indignant about USAID, an organization no one's even heard of, USAID being defunded? Why would he care?
Also know this is just the beginning. If DOGE attacks USAID today, then you can be sure they'll move on to another target tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Postal Service or the IRS or even the Social Security Administration. They could be next. Or maybe our national security agencies.
He got indignant about it because he understands this, quote, foreign aid money, the rice and fly swatter money. It's going to pay for somebody's BMW. It's going to pay for somebody's fancy Washington townhome. It's all a criminal organization, a bunch of bank robbers who do what they do to steal your money. That is the purpose of all this. And a lot of this money has funded Democrat politics in this country. It doesn't all go to BMWs and townhouses. The money goes from this organization to that organization to that organization. And oh, would you look at that? Some of the money ended up helping Democrats get elected in the country. Look at how poor the Democrat Party is now, right as we start cutting all these funds. What an odd coincidence. All right, let's do some emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. I know we started off on a dark note, but I'm still in a great mood. I don't know what it is. You know what it is? It's Independence Day. My blood isn't red. It's red, white, and blue, Chris. What? I don't need to see a doctor. Chris, what is your problem? I'm doing some emails. I still can't believe Chris is complaining about fireworks prices. Gosh, that's so on the nose. Hey, Oracle, you just heard you talking about how the FBI has files on those who speak out against the government. You ever wonder how big yours is? I bet they have one on Chris as well, but you can brag about how much bigger yours is. Yeah, mine's way bigger than Chris's. I bet Chris's file, I don't know though. Chris is kind of a, he's kind of a criminal, I'll be honest with you. And he's really, like, Chris is the guy, if the grid went down or something like that, or there was some sort of civil war, you would probably want to be close to Chris. So what, Chris, what? I know there's nothing wrong with being prepared, Chris. I got that. There's being prepared and then there's you. But there's no question my file is bigger. My file is way bigger. Chris could only dream to have the FBI file that I have. I bet mine is enormous. I'm so proud of it. Hey, Jesse, I can picture you going into the Port-a-John after eating too many Cheddar Bay biscuits at lunch with a broken-off cigarette shoved up both nostrils like a Marine on Okinawa. How long has it been since you had it rough like us common construction guys? Love that you grew up working and living the way we did. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, man, that was my whole life. This is what I'm new to. Doing media stuff, being a huge, important celebrity. That's what I'm new to. I remember I've only been doing this like 7 years. Yeah, I come from a construction family, remember? My dad, you know, he did construction, but he eventually started, right about the time I graduated high school, he started his own construction company, Don Kelly Construction. It's gone now. So he retired. When he retired, he shut it down. But his dad, before him, had Jack Kelly Construction or Jack Kelly Excavating. I think it was Jack Kelly Construction in Ohio. It's just, that was all we did. I always knew that was all I was going to do. I mean, that was what I did. This all happened by accident. How about that? Hey, Jesse, the GOP needs to change from being nice to being good. It's nice to let your kids eat cake for dinner every night, but it's good to give them a steak. It's nice to let the commie making a scene have their way and get what they want, but it's good to confront them and push back. Well, let's talk about that. It's interesting. Nice versus good. Nice, here's the problem with nice, with an obsession with being nice. It's not that I don't want you to be nice. I'm sure you're nicer than me. But when you decide you want to be nice, nice is defined by others. You know, other people will tell you, that's not nice, you're not nice, this is what's nice, that's not nice. Here's a good example. I only mentioned it in passing because I didn't care that much about the story. The UPenn swimmer, the dude who was pretending to be a chick and he was swimming with all the other female swimmers, changing with them in the locker room. That's just so gross, man. I just can't. That's just so gross that women had to go, those young girls had to go through that. But either way, changing with them, it's just really horrible, right? And one of the swimmers on that UPenn team is Paula Scanlon. That's her name, Paula Scanlon. Wonderful, brave young lady. I've interviewed her before, and she was speaking out about how this is wrong and this is terrible. And I imagine what it's like. You bust your butt to go swim in college, which you have to work really hard and be really good. And then you get there and there's a dude, you have to change in front of a man in the locker room, a 6'4" man. And that's not just give you the skeevies. It's just really, really gross. So she spoke out against it and was scolded not only by her university, by some, not all, but by some of her teammates telling her that's not nice. Nice is always subject to change. Nice is always subject to public opinion. And oftentimes, with enough propaganda, the public, they'll decide something absolutely horrid is nice. People will tell you to this day, people in the church will tell you to this day that mass immigration is nice. Well, nice? I'm not interested in nice at all. I couldn't possibly care less about nice. If you're listing your best qualities to me, nice, you can just leave it off the list because I take no stock in that whatsoever. Good, however, is clearly defined by whatever you use to define your morality. Chris would use the Torah. That's what it is. It's the Torah, right, Chris, with you people? Chris would use the Torah. You might use the Bible. Well, that's not subject to anybody's opinion. It's what's written down. It's right there. Maybe you don't use any of those things. Maybe you use some sort of a moral code taught by your parents. Maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe you use the Quran. Whatever it is that you use, good is clearly defined, and it is not subject to public opinion at all. That's why nice is the least important thing in the world. Doesn't matter at all. However, it's a very effective way to control people who want to be nice. I've explained many times before, if you are a kind person, a nice person, and this will be, a lot of women will have this. I realize there are plenty of women who aren't nice, but women in general are just kinder and more nurturing than men. I know that's how God made them. Just nice, the nicer. Being an anti-communist is more difficult for a woman than a man, because the communists will use emotional manipulation on people who want to be nice and want to be seen as nice. And that is more effective. Again, nothing's universal, but that is more effective on women than it is on men, because women are just kind and nurturing. You know, the old stereotype that at least in my house was 100% true. I was always wrecking my bike. Me and all my buddies, we would always build bicycles, and none of them were stable. And we were always just destroying ourselves and wiping out and blood and everything else. If I'm bleeding, if I'm hurting, my mom is there. Hey, I'm so sorry. Let's take you out for ice cream. If I build some crappy ramp with my buddies, we did this one time. My buddy had this big hill, and we not only built the worst, least stable ramp in the world, we went to the top of the hill and put the ramp at the bottom of it. No helmets, by the way. And we just cruised way down the hill. And as the second I hit this ramp, the ramp just collapsed. And I'm going, the bike's on top of me. And then I'm on the bike and the bike's on top of me. So I'm injured terribly. And I was bleeding and hurt. And when I got home, nothing was broken, but I'm bleeding. My father, he said, well, what'd you build a ramp like that for? That was stupid. And then you didn't even test it? You rode down the hill at full speed without even testing it? What a moron. Of course you're bleeding. Is that nice? No, but the man made a solid point. Mom's not going to do that, at least not in that moment with her baby. He's hurt. He's there. He's hurt. He's bleeding. He said that, but Mom is going to be nice. Human beings who have a desire to be seen as nice oftentimes get eaten alive by communists. I pointed it out many times. America's feminized Christianity has been eaten alive by it a lot. Well, we want to be nice. Jesus would want the border open. That kind of, geez, oh my gosh, that kind of crap. All right, let's talk about power. Let's talk about power and how we feel about using it. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. There's just something about Johnny Cash that feels American. I'm in such an American mood. Why are you making that face, Chris? You don't think Johnny Cash seems American? It doesn't get more American than Johnny Cash. The Man in Black, sir. And Independence Day's coming. I'm just in an Independence Day mood. I bet Johnny Cash even set the black aside for Independence Day and went red, white, and blue, baby, America. All right. Remember, Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday is tomorrow. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's talk about power and the use of power. And we've discussed the concept of power before. And what is good to do with it? What is bad? I think, if I asked you, hey, what would you do with $10 million? And let's say it was a whole group of people. So it's just not you and me. You have to confide this in front of a whole group of people. Maybe you'd say you're going to buy a boat or something, a new gun, NVGs. Chris would finally buy fireworks. But I bet you would also say, I'll help somebody. I'm gonna give back. I'll pay off my mom's house or give some to the poor or something. Well, why? Because we understand, good, decent people understand that power, whenever you get any of it, maybe you're a parent or a manager or the president or anything else, power should be used for good. Not for bad, not for selfish reasons, should be used for good. Now, our sinful nature is going to fight against that, but power should be used for good. So we get that, right? And so those of us who are decent people, that means we're not Democrats. And we have a hard time relating to how Democrats view power. Democrats are communists, and communists believe in the use of power. You use your power to help your friends and hurt your enemies. There's no being a good steward of power. That concept is totally foreign to them. You help your friends and you hurt your enemies. You use your power essentially to get more of it, to keep the power you have and get more of it. We on the right, wherever you fall on the right, are uncomfortable, understandably uncomfortable with that. Look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something right now. I'll skip the names, but I met a guy a few weeks ago. He had been in prison, and he ended up getting a pardon. He got out of prison early. Actually, I'd take that back. I'm not sure if it was a pardon. I know he got out of prison early. I can't remember if they just commuted his sentence or pardoned him. It doesn't matter. He got out of prison before he was supposed to get out of prison. I started probing. Okay. Why? How? It was financial crime stuff. Well, turns out he had connections to, I'll skip the name, someone in Trump's orbit. And because of those connections, he was able to get out of prison before his allotted time. Me? You know I like Trump. I thought that sounded gross. I know that's what all presidents do, but it turned me off. The story probably turns you off, even if you're a Trump super fan. They all do it. I get that. But I didn't like that. That doesn't seem like an appropriate use of your power. That seems like you're using it selfishly. Okay. But what do we think we should do with power as it pertains to the other side? I do not believe that we should send the FBI to arrest Democrats the way they sent the FBI to arrest Republicans. I'm talking about innocent Democrats. You know, the Biden administration, the communists in the Biden administration, to be specific, they build up a legal justification to send the FBI after their political opponents, and they spent their 4 years kicking in the doors of pastors and school board moms. That's evil, and I don't want that done back to them. I don't. I think that's horrible. But surely we can acknowledge that some use of power when you're dealing with evil is good. I bring that up because there are two headlines here. Headlines that people on the right have mixed emotions about. First one, Trump unfreezes $175 million after UPenn removes the men from women's sports and they revoke the records of the dude who was pretending to be a woman. Why did UPenn come out yesterday and apologize to all those female swimmers and strip the dude of all of his records? It wasn't because they had some change of heart. They did all that because Donald Trump took $175 million away from them and said, no, sorry, none for you. Penn woke up yesterday with no choice but to do the right thing. How do you feel about that? Me personally, I love it. I'm okay with it, but a lot of people aren't. Well, I shouldn't do that. We don't like it when they... Well, if we don't do that, then how do we fix it? Here's another headline. I know you'll probably support this. Stanford Medicine halts trans surgeries on kids after pressure from the Trump administration. The Trump administration looked at Stanford Medicine and said, hey, you're mutilating children. If you continue to mutilate children, we are going to hurt you in some way. So you better stop. Stanford didn't want to be hurt, so they stopped. Are you okay with that? I am. But traditionally, the right, much of the right, will not be. The truth is, when you are as far gone as we are culturally, we just can't be hands off with the people who have wrecked us. We can't be. We don't want to be them. We don't ever want to become that. We don't ever want to send the FBI after our political opponents. We don't ever want to take those steps, hand out the money from the public treasury to our donors. We don't want to do that. But surely we're okay with doing something, right? All right. There's a very, very interesting little tidbit about the change in Democrat voters, and people are taking the complete wrong lesson from it. You, me, we will explore it, and we'll take the right lesson from it. Before we get to that, let's get your mind right, your strength right, your focus right. Are you ready to fight these filthy communists? You know, chalk is going to get you ready. I always tell you about the natural herbal supplements from Chalk, and I'm always pitching the male vitality stack, but that's because that's what I know. That's what I take, and it has been nothing short of miraculous for me in my life. I am better at work, I'm better at home, I'm better in every way because my mind works better, my energy's good. But maybe that's not for you. Maybe that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you should start with some Chalk lit powder, packed full of vitamins and minerals. Start your day with Chalk lit powder and tell me how you feel after a month. You are going to notice incredible differences, and these are the highest quality natural herbal supplements from the most hardcore anti-communists I've ever met in the business world. They are our people. You can feel good about spending your money at Chalk. Call them or text them. The dimes are waiting by the phone. 50-CHALK-3000. C-H-O-Q 3000. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.